The following is a Hoop Ball presentation.
What is going on? It is the Hoop Ball Clippers podcast. Brandon Marcus here. Glad to have you with us on what should be a fantastic episode. We will have Justin Wilson of LA Clippers Film on. I know I mentioned that we're going to bring the podcast to you yesterday, but because of the Super Bowl, which I forgot that that was happening, and frankly, it seemed like the Kansas City Chiefs did as well, we had to push to this afternoon. So Justin was gracious enough to come on the pod and give us about 45 minutes. So a big thank you to him. And I talk about this on the show a little bit later, but he is going to be on bi-monthly. So he is a dude that we love having on the show, and I want to make sure that you guys have a little bit of consistency so you know perhaps when one of our guests is going to be on, and this is one of those guests that you know will be on every other week, barring some scheduling changes, of course. But if we can make it happen, it will happen. So we will have Justin on, and we'll chat about what's going on in Clipper world, because things were all rosy until the Clippers now have lost three of their last four. And they lost games to Brooklyn, Boston, and then, of course, yesterday to Sacramento. And no PG. Injury is really concerning to me. We'll talk about with Justin what's going on with PG and his level of concern. But myself, I'm concerned. And it is an injury that doesn't have a real diagnosis and timetable to recover. And it seems like, I mean, when you hear bone edema, whatever that is, it's you haven't really heard it before. And with some guys in the NBA, it's cost them a couple of months on the sidelines. So you're hoping that this is something that he's able to recover from quickly and that the Clippers can get him back. Because, boy, they really do need him back, and you're seeing how important he is to this team. So everyone that was hating on Paul George, and there were plenty, this is what you get when PG is out. This guy was having an MVP season, and to take him out of the lineup really hurts. So we'll hopefully get him back sooner rather than later, because he means a lot to this Clippers team. Before we chat with Justin, though, we need to pause the show for an announcement. And it's a fun one. Free stuff. Everyone loves free stuff. What's the free stuff that I'm talking about? The Bruise Letter is back, baby. Oh, yeah. Back and fresh for the 2020-2021 NBA season. Our founder, Aaron Brewski, writes an email newsletter you cannot find anywhere else. Not going to be on social, not going to be on the website. It's only going to your email box. And where does that go? In your email. Nowhere else. Sign up. How? bit.ly/bruiseletter2021. That is bit.ly, bit.ly/bruiseletter2021. Aaron Brewski breaks down every single team in the NBA. Sign up quickly. It only takes 10 seconds. And then just enjoy. Aaron Brewski, straight to your inbox. And of course, fantasy season's upon us. If you are a fantasy head and you want to win, like myself, I recommend the Fantasy Pass. What is the Fantasy Pass? Oh, it's only the best deal in the industry. $4.99 per month, and it brings you so much, so much. And guess what? You don't need to commit long term. Go ahead, sign up. Try it for 1 month. If you don't like it, you can cancel. But I promise you, you will not hate it. You will love it. Why? Because it's got everything. The Discord server, I've talked about this on the show all the time, the Hoopball Discord server, where it has different chat rooms where you can chat about trade advice, ad drops, the tweet storms that Dan Bespris and Adam King do, where they break down every single game and the players to keep an eye on. It's incredible. It's the best thing, at least in my opinion, in the Fantasy Pass, especially those tweet storms. So helpful. Even me, someone that follows basketball religiously, loves reading those tweet storms to get those other guys' opinions. And also, you've got those streaming charts where you can see how many games guys are playing each day. That's part of the Fantasy Pass. Pickups, drops. It has everything you need to dominate all year. Check it out. Head to hoop-ball.com. Click on the Fantasy Pass ad just below the main media wall. That's the Fantasy Pass ad just below the main media wall. All right, so the Clippers are currently 17-8. They are third in the Western Conference on a little bit of a losing streak. But why don't we talk some hoops with our friend Justin Wilson? All right, you want Justin Wilson, you get Justin Wilson. LA Clippers Film is where you can find him on Twitter. One of the best Clippers follows out there, breaks the game down like few do, and we are pleased to have him back on. Justin, what's up, dude?
What's going on, man? I'm gonna have to start paying you for these intros, man. You're making me sound way too good, but I appreciate you having me on. Thank you.
Of course. And if the listeners haven't figured it out since we had Justin on a couple weeks ago, we're gonna try and make this a bi-monthly thing where Justin comes on every other weekend and we break down what's going on in Clipperland, because frankly, everyone loves listening to Justin. And so we are giving the people what they want. We are giving them more Justin. I love talking to Justin and chatting about the Clippers. So the people got what they wanted, Justin. It's going to be more of you on this show.
I guess so. Thank you to all of you guys who listen to me and care about what I have to say about the Clippers. I really appreciate it. That's funny. Thank you, though. Thank you.
For sure. All right. So, since we last chatted, because you and I were starting to go into it before we even started recording, we have seen Kawhi and PG sit out because of health and safety protocols. We have seen them return and the Clippers go on a run. And then we have seen the Clippers lose back-to-back games for the first time this season. So, before we go into any specific game, how are we feeling right now? Because the Clippers have now lost three of their last four. Paul George is hurt. Myself, I'm a little bit down. I don't love where things are going right now. I was really high on this team about 4 or 5 days ago. But the Paul George injury scares the hell out of me, man. Because I've seen some reports out there of guys missing 2-3 months with this injury that he's got. So I'm a little bit concerned. Where are you right now?
I think the Clippers said he was day to day. So I think they used the phrasing day to day evaluation. Mm-hmm. So from that perspective, I'm cautiously optimistic that it's not going to be too bad. It's not too bad. But if it is a serious injury, obviously DEFCON 1. But aside from that, I'm honestly not too worried. You know what I mean? I thought they had a great showing on that 6-game road trip. They got a win without Paul George and Kawhi Leonard. We were able to stay COVID-free throughout that 6-game road trip. We had a good showing in Brooklyn against the Nets. Even if we didn't come out with the W, I thought there were some really good takeaways. That was a really great basketball game to watch. And then we lost two in a row because we are down our second and probably third best players. And one of those players is an all NBA first team level performer who's playing that way this year. So, I don't think there's a lot of teams in the NBA right now who are built to withstand the amount of top end talent that the Clippers are without right now due to injury. And hopefully we get those guys back on the court soon, and we can get into some real wins and get a win streak going. But the reason why I said I'm not worried is just simply because, you know, these games in the NBA are always going to be tough regardless. And if you are down Paul George and Patrick Beverley, these games are going to be hard to win. They're going to be tough. And we could have won both. Right. Both the Sacramento and the Boston game came down to the wire. And this conversation is different if we make one more open three or one more, or we commit one less turnover or something like that. So the fact that we had a chance to go 2-0 without Paul George and without Patrick Beverley and with some great performances from other guys, it's kind of encouraging. It's kind of encouraging to me. And I'm kind of optimistic moving forward as long as this Paul George injury isn't too serious.
Yeah, I think the PG thing is the biggest concern. And you make some really good points, obviously. And there is some optimism where Pat Beverley was spotted shooting by Miriam before the game. She posted a video on her Twitter account. So it's great to see him going through some workout before the game. And so I would think that he's going to return in the next week or so. And that would be great for the Clippers. And I'm assuming they're taking their time with him because they've already seen how injuries can be something that travels with him. And we know the importance of what Pat Beverly means to this team. I was talking to Andrew Greif about the Brooklyn game. And if Pat Bev is in there, they probably beat Brooklyn. Because when you face Brooklyn, you need a good defensive guard to face off against Harden and Kyrie. And the Clippers just did not have that. I mean, you're playing Reggie Jackson major minutes. And God bless Reggie Jackson. And we'll talk about him in a bit because I know you've got some stuff on him. But it's you need Pat Bev in there. You need the defense. And without him, like you said, the Clippers are in trouble. And without him, without PG, it's going to be tough. And they still nearly beat Boston. And like you said, they nearly beat Sacramento, lost by three. And they were leading in both those games. So definitely some encouraging moments. And the question is, can they rebound? And what I think is a pretty easy stretch coming up before the two Utah games, which will obviously be big when you take on Minnesota, Chicago, Cleveland, and Miami before the two Utah games. But overall, yeah, I tend to agree with you for sure. Let's chat about Reggie Jackson because he is someone that, frankly, has filled a role admirably. He did not know that he was going to have to carry this sort of load when he came in to the game January 24th against OKC when Pat Bev was taken out at halftime. But since then, he was really good. He was really good and gave the Clippers a spark. But I think now we're starting to learn a little bit about how he does tend to hurt the Clippers a little bit defensively and maybe is not the guy you want out there for 30 minutes a game. What are your thoughts?
So I think it's important to keep some perspective on Reggie Jackson, which is that he was a veterans minimum signing and he was signed late in free agency. And so there are going to be these violent fluctuations in play from him. And with no Patrick Beverly and with no Paul George, you're starting to lean a lot on Reggie Jackson to do some things that he just can't consistently do. You can't consistently ask him to like be a dynamic downhill PNR playmaker. You can't consistently ask him to like just be a high level scoring guard every night. And so I think all in all, he's been fine. The last couple of games, you're starting to see a little bit of his limitations. He had a little bit of a bounce back game of sorts against Sacramento, but you're starting to see a little bit of his limitations. And I actually would want to actually see Lou Williams start over Reggie Jackson in these games until at least Patrick Beverly or Paul George get back, because Lou Williams is starting to come along, and Lou Williams is just a flat out better player in every regard, except maybe catch and shoot. But yeah, I would like to see Lou Williams be the guy that is our starting guard until Paul George and Patrick Beverly get back. But that's another conversation. Just Reggie Jackson has been great. He's shot the ball well. He's still shooting around 38% on threes for the year. You can always count on him to make a couple of open catch and shoot jumpers. But we are getting to the point where we're playing like Reggie Jackson 30, 32 minutes a night here. And he's just like I think against Sacramento, he played like 31 minutes to Lou Williams 23 or 24 or something like that. And it's just, I don't know how much more to put it. I don't know a better way to put it than it's a lot of Reggie Jackson. And that's just not what we expected coming into the year. And even as depleted as we are health-wise, I don't think that has to be the case. I think we can stand to see a lot more Lou Williams to pick up some of the playmaking slack, and that could eat into Reggie Jackson's minutes, so we don't have as much Reggie Jackson, because it's just a lot of Reggie Jackson right now. Reggie Jackson floaters, Reggie Jackson threes, Reggie Jackson trying to make plays, and it's just like it's just too much. It's just too much, quite frankly. But all in all, you just have to remember that he is a veterans minimum signing. He is not somebody that was going to be a starting point guard for us for an extended amount of time. But here we are. And I think he's done well. He just has severe limitations. And that's the reason why he has the contract that he has.
Yeah, and you look at him and Nick Batum, and no one was expecting them to fill the role that they're filling.
Right,
and,
right,
and more
right.
importantly, with Reggie Jackson, just like Patrick Patterson, these are two guys that were sitting on the bench, and all of a sudden, Reggie Jackson is called upon to be the starting point guard after not even being in the rotation. And he has stepped in and done it so well. So a big tip of the hat to Reggie Jackson, because it's not easy to do what he has been doing, to go from being on the bench to not playing to starting, and he's done it well. So give credit to him. But you mentioned Lou Williams, and I want to chat about that because Lou has kind of been the forgotten man this season. He's not quite putting forth the sixth man of the year type numbers and season that we're expecting to see from him, but he's starting to turn a corner of late. Why do you think that Lou should start, even though he seems to be a guy that performs pretty well off the bench?
Well, I think for one, in a perfect scenario, he would be coming off the bench, and so far he still is. But I think the Clippers, the starters just haven't been good. And so the way the Clippers have designed their team this year, they've designed it to where Kawhi Leonard is operating out of the mid post, the low post, and Paul George is the one handling the pick and roll, playmaking, getting into the paint, kicking it out to shooters and things like that. With Paul George not there, that element of the offense is missing with the starters, and the starters are really dragging right now because of it. And God bless Reggie Jackson. He's been thrown into a role that's probably a little bit too big for him right now, but Lou Williams is still the best playmaker on this team. And with the starters dragging and struggling the way they are, as far as finding some shot creation and some dynamic playmaking out of pick and roll, Lou Williams is somebody that if they can just get a little bit more minutes out of and a little bit more possessions out of, they can find a way to help that Paul George absence. You're not going to make up for it, but what they're missing out of the starters is something that at least Lou Williams can help in a major way. And so ideally, Lou Williams isn't a starter, but these aren't ideal times due to injury. And, you know, over the last 8 games, he's made like over 42% of his threes. He's up to like 15 a game. He had 23 against Sacramento. He's finally playing his way into the season. And I think the Clippers desperately need his playmaking with Paul George and Patrick Beverley out. And really, the most important thing about starting versus coming off the bench is the minute totals. And we need more Lou Williams minutes, in my opinion. And the easiest way to do that is just to start him. You can still, there are still ways to start Lou and make most of his minutes come from the bench. But I tweeted it out during the game. He's starting to find some real chemistry with Zoo. He's just looking like the Lou Williams of old as of late. And for me, I think it's just important to get his minute total and his shot attempts just a little bit higher and a little bit more Lou Williams. And the easiest way to do that is to have him start and have Reggie Jackson come off the bench, in my opinion.
Interesting. So that would mean that your bench is Marcus Morris, Reggie Jackson, Terrence Mann, and Zoo, basically.
But you can do it in a way to where you start Lou, but you take him out for Reggie Jackson very early so that you can bring Lou Williams back with the second unit. So like he is starting, but he'll still get most of his minutes with the second unit. And that's just something that I was like spitballing with. I just felt like they just really desperately needed some of his mojo, you know?
Interesting. So you would probably play him for the first 4 minutes or so just to
get
the Clippers into a good groove offensively. And then bring in Reggie Jackson and kind of let him do his thing. But you'd like to see them get off to better start with Reggie Jackson on the bench and Lou starting.
Yes, yes, exactly, exactly.
Interesting. And Lou was good yesterday. I mean, he didn't shoot the ball very well, 6 of 16. But he got to the line 10 times and he made all of his free throws. And that's kind of what you want to see from him. And what we've preached about a guy like Paul George all the time is to get to the line as much as possible. And 23 points, 5 rebounds, 5 assists, 2 steals. I mean, that's damn good. And for Lou Williams to put that up in 29 minutes and still be a plus 6 when the Clippers lost by 3, like you said, it says a lot, and it's good to see Lou kind of rounding into form. And it's interesting because this team just looks so much different than it did last year. I mean, especially when you have Paul George and Pat Beverly out, it's relying on different guys. I mean, Serge Ibaka missed a lot of close range shots yesterday that normally he makes, and just he wasn't that good. Luke Kennard is shooting 45% from deep. He was just 1 of 4 yesterday. Nick Batum was not good. He put together a Batum performance that we kind of were thinking he was going to give us at the start of the season. 5 points, 4 rebounds, and a minus 14. Not great. Kawhi wasn't very good. I think Kawhi needs to be a little bit better with Paul George out. So the whole team didn't play very well yesterday, and they still only lost by 3. So it says a lot where this team is right now, Justin, that they're still able to stay competitive, even with a team like Sacramento, who, by the way, is better than people give them credit for. The only reason why I don't think they make the playoffs, and I said this yesterday on the Box Score Breakdown show, is I just don't think that they're well coached. I don't think Luke Walton's a good enough coach, but they've got some studs, man, and Fox and Hield and Halliburton and Holmes, and Barnes is playing out of his damn mind. So it's a decent showing yesterday.
Nah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think what we got to internalize is that the way the team, the Clippers, are made, they are made to lean heavily on Paul George's his playmaking, and they lean heavily on Patrick Beverley's point of attack defense and 3-point shooting. And so when you take those things away, you kind of put a little bit more responsibility on everyone else, and you get situations where guys are having to do more than they can, quite frankly. But I think the reason why we were able to almost win both of these games is because, despite us as a whole not playing well, guys like Terrence Mann, Lou Williams, and Ivica Zubac, and Marcus Morris is shooting. Those four guys are really they're really doing it, especially Zoo is one of my favorite players in the league, and I'm really happy to see that he's starting to round into form. He didn't start the season off all that well, but he's come back with a vengeance, and he's back to being the two-way terror that we knew him to be from last year. And for me, that's optimist. That's good enough, because they'll win some games here. They'll lose some games here. You just want to tread water until Paul George gets back. But the fact that Lou Williams, one of your top 8 rotation guys, is starting to look the part again. Zoo is starting to look the part again. You're even getting some contributions from Terrence Mann as far as rebounding and defense, and like just he's starting to finish a little bit more around the rim. Those things are encouraging, and I think those mean a little bit more than a win and a loss right now. I mean, obviously you want to win for standings perspective, but like I said at the beginning of the show, we're down 2 starters, right? Like, if the Lakers were down Anthony Davis and KCP for an extended period of time, games would become difficult for them too. So it's like Chicago. We play Chicago coming up. We play Cleveland coming up. Those games are not going to be easy, and we may split them. We may split them. We may not. We may win, but the reality is that wins are going to be hard to come by, and I'm more so looking at how guys who are in the rotation at this very moment due to injury, how are they performing? And I love what I'm seeing from Zoo. I love what I'm seeing from Lou, and that should bode well for the Clippers moving forward. And that's why the 2 losses right now aren't too big of a concern. They actually are more, in my opinion at least, a little bit more encouraging than anything, because we could have won those. We could have won those games even as depleted as we were, and we got some good reps from Zoo. We got some good reps from Lou. We got some good reps from Terrence Mann. So I'm actually kind of optimistic moving forward. Like I said, as long as Paul George's injury isn't too serious.
Let's take a quick break from Justin Wilson to talk about our friends over at MyBookie. Ever since I started this podcast, I have had people ask me gambling advice left and right. And they ask me where I'm betting. They ask me who I'm betting on. And what do I tell them? I tell them that I bet with MyBookie. Their rep is rock solid. They've got the best odds, contests, and promotions in the business. Whether you want to bet on the Australian Open, you want to bet on the Premier League, you want to bet on the NBA, of course, you want to bet on college basketball, March Madness, just around the corner, MyBookie has you covered. Not only are they having you covered with sports, they've also got casino games, other fun stuff, blackjack, It's all there. They have my stamp of approval. I do not give it away easily. They are the best at what they do. The best sportsbook out there, period. It's simple. Sign up, enter the promo code HOOPBALL, and get your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. Head over to MyBookie if you want to add a little bit of excitement to the sports you love and the games you bet. And if you want a little bit of advice, hit up the guys at HoopBall Gaming. Devin heads up that department. They do a great job breaking down all the different sports. They give out their bets, and they only give out the bets that they know they're going to win. Well, kind of. Of course, they're hoping to win, and they want you to win as well. And frankly, they go on some winning streaks that are absolute heaters. You'll want to be joining them. Devin and the HoopBall Gaming department do a great job. But go sign up at MyBookie. Bet with the best. Bet with MyBookie. Yeah, and you look at the starting lineup, and when you replace a guy like Beverly with Reggie Jackson, and then you replace a guy like PG with Luke Kennard, some pretty big drops. And if you were to look at the rest of the lineup, obviously Kawhi is Kawhi, so whoever you replaced him with, it's going to be a struggle. But if Batum were to miss a game, Marcus Morris, very solid. Pat Patterson filled in pretty well. If Ibaka were to miss a game, Zoo, really good. So the replacements are kind of at the same level. They're pretty close if they're not the same. But with these guys, you're removing two guys and replacing them with two players that just are a pretty big drop compared to what you're used to getting.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm glad you said that, because that's the reality that we're looking at. And, you know, Kawhi didn't have a great game last night. I mean, yesterday against Sacramento, but he too suffers when Paul George and Patrick Beverly aren't on the floor, and he has to do a little bit more, and he's capable of it. You know, he's Kawhi Leonard, but, you know, you're going to get performances like that when he has to be the manufacturer of all of essentially all of the juice while he's on the floor. And that's another reason why I think even he would benefit from Lou Williams starting. It just makes life a little bit easier for him. And that's kind of where I'm at with it. And you know, hopefully these guys get healthy soon, because as long as they are hurt, this is gonna be tough.
And let's chat about Zoo, because he deserves the praise, and he was getting some criticism early on. He did not look the same. He was dropping passes, just looked hesitant. It seemed like he really needed to get that chemistry with Lou Williams, and finally he does have it. And he was aggressive as hell yesterday, and he was getting rebounds on the offensive end. He had 5 offensive rebounds, 14 total. I think he's got 5 double-doubles now in his last 11 games. So he's clearly getting the trust of Ty Lue. When was the last time we saw Zoo play 18 straight minutes under Doc Rivers? I mean, it just did not happen. It was shades of Montrezl Harrell when Zoo did that a couple of games ago. So we're seeing that this guy is now being trusted in the fourth quarter. What have you seen from Zoo, and how encouraged are you by his play? And are you at all discouraged at all that perhaps Ibaka is not playing as well that maybe he should be?
Not all that discouraged with Ibaka, just because, again, his guards are Reggie Jackson and Luke Kennard. Mm-hmm. And that's not like he too, just like Kawhi Leonard, benefits from having Paul George and Patrick Beverly out there. And I think in a fully healthy lineup, Serge Ibaka makes sense with the starters, because he is another guy that creates more space for Paul George and Kawhi Leonard to create. But with that being said, Zoo has outplayed him considerably over the last, like, I don't know how many games. It's almost becoming an every night thing. And it's part because Ibaka has been disappointing, but a big part of it is that Zoo has just been fantastic. You know what I mean? He had, what did he have, 12 points last night with 14 rebounds? He's protecting the rim as good as you can hope for. And then, you know, I tweeted this yesterday during the game. His conditioning is something to marvel at. He goes from inline to inline, and his motor is off the chain. He doesn't get tired. He's back to finishing everything around the rim. He's got million-dollar hands. His catch radius is like as wide as you would want a footer to be. He's starting to create some good chemistry with Lou Williams again. I can't say enough about what Zoo has been able to do this season after that rough start. And if you're looking for any positives, he's probably the biggest positive right now. And, you know, with the Clippers, it's all about the playoffs. And seeing Zoo right now getting all of these fourth quarter minutes now is something that you should think about as far as like, man, this would be extremely beneficial come playoff time. He has these fourth quarter reps. He'll be used to it. He'll be used to getting this load of fourth quarter minutes. So he's been amazing, honestly. And you know, the 18 straight minutes is kind of wild. You would hope in a typical setting that it wouldn't have to be that way, but like, they are injured. They're hurt right now and they needed it. And so I'm kind of enjoying this Zoo renaissance of sorts. And I hope he keeps it up. And I think he will. He's not doing anything that's out of ordinary. He's just a really great rim protector. He's a really great rebounder, and he has a fantastic motor, and he's putting it all together right now.
Yeah, and I'm happy to see him playing the way he is. And it's interesting because we talked before the season, should Zoo start? Should Ibaka start? And then obviously it ended up being Ibaka. And we were a little bit discouraged that Zoo wasn't getting a start after how well he was playing in the postseason last year. But I think I like this role now because the second unit really needs him defensively. And it seems like he provides that and helps the second unit a lot. So some may say, hey, why don't you start Zoo and have Ibaka off the bench? But reverse of what you're saying with Lou, where Lou should start and Jackson should come off the bench, I kind of like Zoo coming off the bench now, which I didn't think I was going to ever say, but it seems to work. What do you think?
So for me, when I saw that Serge Ibaka was going to start at the beginning of the year, I was more or less concerned with the minutes, right? So Serge Ibaka can start, or Ivica Zubac could have started. It's more or less how close do they get as far as like 24 minutes for Zoo, 24 minutes for Ibaka. And I think Ty Lue has given Zoo all the minutes that he could handle, including fourth quarter minutes, despite him coming off the bench. So it is kind of working, and you hit the nail on the head. The second unit, especially when the team is fully healthy, needs that anchor defensively, because at this point in time, I think Zoo is a substantially better defender than Ibaka. But in the starting lineup, you have four really great defenders, so you don't really need that fifth guy to be just a dynamo defensively. Whereas the bench has some combination of Luke Kennard, Lou Williams, and Reggie Jackson and Marcus Morris, and that lineup needs a defensive anchor in the worst way. And even Zoo may not be enough to help that lineup defensively, but he is definitely needed more in the second unit than the first unit. So it does make sense from that perspective. And I just like Paul George and Kawhi Leonard having a floor spacer at the five in that starting unit. So it's actually worked out pretty well, much better than I expected. I don't have a real problem with Zoo coming off the bench. I love the minute allocation between those two. I'm with you. It's worked really, really, really well.
And Ty Lue seems to recognize when the hot hand is there, and that's why he played Zoo as many minutes as he did over the last week or two. I mean, he's noticing what Zoo is bringing to the table, and if Ibaka's having a good game, he'll stick Ibaka in there. The one thing that I can trust this year is that it really does seem like Ty Lue is making the right decision. He's looking at what works. He's looking at the numbers in the analytics, and it seems like he is making the right decision. So it's definitely a positive thing for the Clippers. Now, I want to touch on Luke Kennard, because someone tweeted at you that he sucks. And I mentioned earlier on the pod that somehow he's shooting 45% from three. And even in fantasy basketball world, I mean, I get questions about Kennard all the time. And he's a guy that everyone's saying, oh, he's a bust. I have always said that I never understood who they were bidding against with this four-year, $64 million deal. It never made sense to me to give him that much money for a guy that was coming off injury that I don't think was going to get that sort of money on the market. But the Clippers did anyways, and they did the same thing, obviously, with Marcus Morris. But Morris kind of had proved more in the past, and I think he fit the system with the Clippers in terms of all the different positions he could guard. So talk Clippers fans off a ledge when it comes to Luke Kennard.
I mean, I think it's okay to be disappointed in Luke Kennard's play to start the year. I think it's fair to say that he's underwhelmed. I think it's fair to say that he's been disappointing. But I'm more or less on this from the standpoint of he's played like 25 games this year, and we have him for like the next 3 years. I think it's just entirely premature to like just completely throw it away with Luke Kennard. I still think that there's a lot there. I just want to see it. And I want to give him the fair shot to prove it. The way I see it, the more time he gets away from injury, the better you'll see from him. He is someone who has juice off the dribble. He hasn't shown it though. Basically, other than being able to knock down open or wide open threes, his game has been pretty limited, and it's been a bit more limited than I or other Luke Kennard optimists would have hoped for. But it's early, and it's early in our relationship with Luke Kennard, and I would say just give it time. Just give it time, because in Detroit, he did show some glimpses of what he could be. He's still a young player. This is his first time being traded. He's on a new team, new role, and he's trying to figure out how to navigate that. And that's going to take time. Things don't happen overnight. He's still shooting 45% on threes, per 36 on solid volume, 6 attempts a game. So there is something there. And he was traded for a guy who is quite literally stinking up the joint in Detroit. I mean, excuse me, in Brooklyn, in Landry Shamet. So he has underwhelmed, but he definitely doesn't suck. And I think as we get closer and closer to the end of the season, you'll see a Luke Kennard that is a bit more reliable come playoff time. But, you know, he's definitely underwhelmed to start the year. There's no doubt about that. But he showed enough in Detroit with the ball for me to give him some time and see, just let him get more acclimated into the role that he's being asked to be in with the Clippers. And if he doesn't, he doesn't. But what I would say is that if I'm not mistaken, the last year of Luke Kennard's deal is a team option for one, and it hasn't even started yet. And he could very well make this conversation look pretty foolish if in the next like 15, 20 games, he averages like 13 a game and is hitting step back threes off the dribble, and he's really impacting winning in a material way. So, Just give it time.
Let me ask you something, because you mentioned a couple of times there that he showed more in Detroit. You're a guy that's looked at plenty of film. When will we know that he is back to the guy that was in Detroit? What will he be doing on the floor that tells you, yep, this is the guy that they signed to the extension. Yep, this is the guy that we are excited about.
When he stops pump faking so much on threes, for one. And for two, when he is taking like step backs and he's taking step back threes off the dribble against bigs on switches, when he's being aggressive on a consistent basis, that's when you'll know that Luke Kennard is back. If he, to me, he's being incredibly passive, and he did have that issue in Detroit too, where he was a little bit too passive. But the times that he wasn't passive, he was hitting step backs on bigs. He was making these crazy passes off the dribble. He was playing. He was being dynamic in pick and roll as a playmaker. He was set to be Detroit's point guard this year. That's how good with the ball he was. And during the Pistons minicamp, they were running with him as being the point guard. So he is someone that has a bit of juice on the ball, And when you start seeing him making plays out of pick and roll for himself and others, that's when you'll know that Luke Kennard has arrived with the Clippers.
Let's hope that it's sooner rather than later. And again, we have to reiterate it. And frankly, I have to say it because I got to tell myself this because I'm obviously disappointed in what I've seen so far. This is a guy that was away from the game of basketball for about a year, and he has not played competitive basketball in a while. And he is someone that is getting used to a new system in a new city during a pandemic. So we got to give this guy a little bit of time because he's still young. He's got the talent. So it's definitely has a chance to be there. But let me ask you this. How thrilled are you that Derrick Rose is not going to be on the Clippers?
ecstatic. Ecstatic. I don't even think that there was any, like, I don't even think that that was real on the Clippers end anyway. I don't think so either,
by the way, because when Mark Stein comes out and says the Clippers are interested, guess what? When a reporter comes out and says the Clippers are interested, the Clippers don't do that. They don't tell people anymore what's going on behind the scenes. So don't buy that stuff.
And you know, I think on Rose's end, he was throwing that out there that the Clippers are interested just to raise his value a bit. But yeah, I'm ecstatic. I'm not the biggest fan of Derrick Rose in general, but especially as a basketball player. And he does not fit anything as in regards to what the Clippers do offensively or defensively. He makes no sense at all. I never even understood it. And it's no surprise to me that the Clippers did not end up making any sort of like tangible offer for D Rose, because the Clippers have like Patrick Beverley is better than Derrick Rose. A lot of people don't realize that because they like to watch raw stats and things like that. But Patrick Beverley is better than Derrick Rose. Lou Williams is better than Derrick Rose. He makes the team worse if you trade those guys for Derrick Rose. Like I never understood it. So I'm glad he is not with the Clippers.
Any player that you've seen right now that you'd like to have on the Clippers? Because there's a lot of talk. And listen, even with the point guard position, it's always been a thing. Do the Clippers have a backup point guard? And we always wonder, do they have a point guard? And okay, well, they do with Patrick Beverley, especially for what they're doing right now with the ball in PG and Kawhi's hands as much as it is. But now with no Beverley, maybe you'd like somebody else besides for Reggie Jackson to fill that role. Is there somebody else that you'd like to have on this team, whether it be a point guard or another position?
My guy has always been Lonzo Ball. I don't think we have the package to make anything happen on that front. I don't even know what the trade machinations would be to bring Lonzo to the Clippers, but that's been my guy just because I see so many similarities in Patrick Beverley and Lonzo. That we would definitely benefit from having him on the team, man, as the guy that backs up Patrick Beverley and probably starts quite a bit due to Patrick Beverley's injury history. Lonzo is injury prone too, but he's younger, but he's also somebody who, like Patrick Beverley, is a great rebounder for position, can guard multiple positions, can make open threes. I think Lonzo Ball is a little bit overrated as far as being the number two pick in a draft and this like great playmaker with a ball, but he is a really great 3-and-D point guard with some playmaking juice and great size for the position. So in my fantasy world, he'd be like the quintessential backup for Patrick Beverley. Other than that, they just got to get healthy, man. They were rolling before these injuries hit, and like they just got to get healthy. And I don't know if you're trading like Lou Williams or Patrick Beverley away if the player you're getting in return is going to be better. So Lonzo's been my guy.
And as long as his father doesn't come along, I'm all for it, man. As long as we don't have that big baller brand nonsense that's thrown around and that off the court stuff that's being thrown in our faces, I'm good with it because Lonzo's a very underrated man. Everyone knows that in fantasy basketball circles. It's a guy that performs pretty well and does a lot of good things on the court. So I don't mind that. I don't mind that. So you're making your case there for Lonzo Ball on the Clips, and I'm okay with that. I'm just curious to see what type of package they would put together for him. So I think overall, it kind of seems that with these losses, it's more just about the Clippers being without Paul George and Patrick Beverley And what we're learning is that perhaps maybe Lou Williams should start over Reggie Jackson. And we're learning that Zoo is improving. Does it seem like that's kind of what your takeaways are from the last week or two, that the team just needs to be healthy and perhaps some tinkering here with the roles of Jackson and Lou, and then maybe with Zoo and Ibaka?
Yeah, and I think I want to give a shout out to Terrence Mann too, just because you know, the jumper still isn't there, but he's doing things on the floor that are very impactful, that basically are showing that he's an NBA player, and that's a win. That's a win, because coming into this season, I didn't know, and I had a foot out the door when it came to Terrence Mann. So I love the fact that the Clippers kind of taken him off the ball a bit. He's become more of a wing this year, and that has allowed him to guard multiple positions, rebound, push pace. He's just a raw talent, and he's just doing really good things. And like, it's in direct opposition to someone like Luke Kennard, who should be better and has, like, he's definitely a better shooter than Terrence Mann, but everything else Terrence Mann has been better than that. So like, I want to give a shout out to like Terrence Mann for really showing himself during this season, really, to be like an NBA player. As far as like how good he'll be as an NBA player, who knows, but he was a late second round pick, and to get an NBA player out of that in that draft range is like really great. And for the Clippers, that's a win, because you know, when you are in game 27, 28 and guys are in and out of the lineup, you need inning stealers. You need guys who can just play an NBA game competently. And at least Terrence Mann can do that, and probably a bit more with more seasoning and more experience. So I've loved what I've seen from him, Lou, Zoo. Those guys have really popped to me during this stretch where we've been hurt.
Yeah, and he's provided some energy. And you and I talked about this before the season, about how the Clippers just seem to have been really bad in the draft in the last several years and have not had anybody that's been able to contribute really since DeAndre Jordan. The Clippers just have not really hit on a guy that's a main rotation piece. So it's kind of nice to see a guy like Mann, that he's not going to be a guy that's going to start and going to be someone that blows your mind, but he's going to contribute. So it's nice to see the Clippers actually getting someone that does contribute in the draft, for sure. No doubt about it. So now we are going to take a little bit of a break from the basketball side of things, from you and I talking hoops for about a week, 2 weeks, actually. We'll have you back on, because I'm looking at the schedule now, and it looks like Sunday, February 21st is when the Clippers take on Brooklyn at 5:00 at home. So we're going to try.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah. So we'll aim to record after that game on the 21st, and we'll chat about, obviously, the game against the Nets, which should be great, and also the two games before that, which are two games against Utah. So excited to have you back on, not this weekend, the following weekend, to break down a week that contains Utah twice and Brooklyn. So always a good time. Anything else that you wanted to hit on? Because I'm not going to leave this podcast until you have gotten everything off your chest.
Not really. I just think a lot of Clipper Nation can be like really panicky, and like, I think I mentioned it on a pod, like, if the Lakers didn't have KCP or Caruso with Anthony Davis, and both of those guys were hurt, ironically enough, Anthony Davis is out tonight with some Achilles tendonitis for whatever. My point is that these games are going to be a struggle. These games right now are in no way a referendum on how good this Clipper team is. Like, they are missing some really good players. Like, Paul George was averaging like 24, 25 a game on like 50, 48, 90. Like, and he was the best playmaker on the team. Like, and Patrick Beverley was hitting like 41% of his threes on like 4 or 5 attempts a game, along with being a really great rebounder and a point of attack defender. They are going to struggle, but I think it's just important to just keep some perspective as we move forward through the season.
Yep, keep that perspective, because guess what? We got a long way to go. The Clippers are 17-8. That is still damn good. And when you look at what they've done this season, to be sitting right now third in the conference and to be a game and a half back of the Lakers is just fine. Now, what will happen in the second half? Will we have a second half after they play that All-Star game in Atlanta? God knows. But we can get through what we have in front of us, at least until March 4th, and we'll go from there. Justin, always a good time. You can always follow Justin's work at LA Clippers Film, one of the best follows, one of the best minds on Clippers Twitter. Justin, always a great time, man.
Thank you for having me. See you on the 21st.
Yes, sir. Man, I love having that guy on. I just do. It's a great conversation. It always ends up being longer than I expected it to go. And it just goes and hits on everything that I wanted to talk about and everything that he wanted to talk about. So always a good time. I hope you enjoyed that as much as I did. And if you missed it during the actual conversation, we are going to have Justin on bi-monthly. It's one of the things that I wanted to get some consistency for sure in this podcast. And Justin has volunteered and gracefully or said that he would do it every other week. So it gives him a chance to kind of step back and evaluate what's going on in Clipperland. And so he will be on the podcast every other week. So I hope you look forward to it. It was great having him on during the playoff run and having him on every weekend to chat about what was going on with the Clippers in the playoffs. So I think this will do something similar, but at least during the regular season. So I hope you enjoy it. Before we go elsewhere, folks, Valentine's Day is upon us. Make sure you're ready for wherever the night may take you. Our friends at Manscaped, the global leader in men's below-the-waist grooming, are here to tell you that you need to use the best tools for the job so you can be ready for anything on that special day. 2 million men are already using Manscaped products to groom. Make sure you are one of them. I know that you've used scissors before. You've had those accidents. We want to make sure that that does not happen. And Manscaped is a perfect place to start with the Perfect Package 3.0, full of the best products to keep you looking, smelling, and feeling nice. The Perfect Package 3.0 is led by their revolutionary third generation lawnmower 3.0 trimmer, which is advanced skin-safe technology, features a cutting-edge ceramic blade to reduce grooming accidents. We want you to be taken care of. The Perfect Package 3.0 will also come with a pair of Manscaped boxers that'll keep your privates feeling fresh all day. It's time to upgrade those overused pair of boxers to Manscaped's high-performance anti-chafing boxers. Easily the comfiest pair that you have ever had. It's the perfect package for your perfect package. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code HOOPBALL20 at manscaped.com. That is 20% off and free shipping. Manscaped.com. The code is HOOPBALL20. Happy Valentine's Day from Manscaped. And speaking of Valentine's Day, the Los Angeles Clippers have a couple of games this week before we get to Valentine's Day. They'll be playing on Sunday against Cleveland, so hopefully it is a good day for them. But first up, Minnesota on Wednesday, Chicago on Friday, both games on the road before returning home for Valentine's Day on Sunday. Very curious to see what the Clippers do in those two games against Minnesota and Chicago. Minnesota, don't think they'll have Karl Anthony Towns. He may be back. Apparently, he's trying to get his conditioning in order. And Chicago will be without Lauri Markkanen, who is out 2 to 4 weeks. So the Clippers have the advantage there against a team that, frankly, they have the advantage on anyways. So perhaps we'll talk to our friend over at Hoopball Bulls and Greg before the Clippers take on the Chicago Bulls. So a big thank you to everybody for listening. You can always follow me on Twitter at BDMarcus. You can follow the Twitter handle of the show at HoopBallClips. And of course, rate and review the podcast. It would be awesome if you have a chance to do that. 5-star rating, review the podcast as well. And always hit me up if you want on Twitter at BDMarcus. Tell me how you like the show and any guests you might want to have on. So a big thank you to you, the listeners. As I always tell you, this show does not go on without you and the many people that are listening. So a big thank you to everybody. Until next time, I'm Brandon Marcus, and go Clips!
This has been a Hoop Ball presentation.